I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Americans with Disabilities Act, how that law is working or not working in communities of color. But first to the epicenter of the national immigration debate, Arizona. With some aspects of the state's controversial anti-illegal immigration law now in place, the country is waiting to see what happens next. U.S. District Court Judge Susan Bolton temporarily blocked some of the law's more controversial aspects last week, including one that critics have charged could lead to racial profiling by police. That move may have eased apprehension of some immigrants in Arizona, but it's added fuel to the political debate. And with the November midterm elections 3 months from today, immigration is clearly one of the top issues for voters this campaign season. Joining us now to talk more about this is Eugene Robinson, a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for The Washington Post. He's been writing about this. Also with us, Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist with The Washington Post Writers Group. He also writes for CNN.com, and he's in Phoenix now. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michelle.
Here, Michelle.
Ruben, I'm going to start with you because you've been in Phoenix the last couple of days reporting on what's been happening since SB 1070 became law last week. What have you been seeing and hearing?
Well, you know, like a lot of reports have said, there are whole parts of the town. Phoenix is this vast metropolis, 4 million people in the overall metroplex of Phoenix. Lots of Latinos typically had settled in South Phoenix and in West Phoenix. Those areas are particularly hard hit. But West Phoenix in particular had a lot of immigrants there. I drove through there yesterday with an old friend of mine who and I used to be a reporter together here, and we were commenting on just how different things were. Restaurants were closed down, businesses were closed down. You know, literally outside one, there was a homeless people sitting outside a store that had been closed down, shut down. We're talking about supermarket size stores that are no longer there and operational, and people have left. And it's either because the people who ran the store, ran the restaurant, were here without documents, or their clientele was. And so it's hurt everybody. And I remember one of the things, we're walking through the park, and it's always been my contention, Michelle, as you know, that so much of this is not economic. The resistance comes from changing cultural norms and the fact that demographics are changing. And I remarked to my friend, I said, this is a heck of a drastic response just because people didn't want to push one for English. This is like nuking a whole city or a whole state.
But how do you know that this is in response to the law or the perceived anti-immigrant a culture of hostility as opposed to the recession?
Because it's been going on for 20 years in good times, economic good times and bad times. During the 1990s, when Bill Clinton was there, we had a healthy economy. I was covering immigration in this city, and that resistance was there. Because when Tom Tancredo ran for president, he made a big issue out of you have to press one for English and two for Spanish. And because people have long been freaked out. And African-Americans, I'll be direct about this. If you go to South Central Los Angeles, and I used to work in Los Angeles, host a radio show there, as you know, African-Americans were one of the first groups of people to make those kinds of comments, to say, hey, my neighborhood is changing. You know, they closed down this business and replaced it with a taco shack, and I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. So this has always been part of the discussion.
Well, let me just say that there's conflicting data about whether or not this law has really had an impact on Arizona or not, on the Phoenix area, not particularly in the area of tourism. We have information from the Arizona Hotel and Lodging Association that says that at least 40 groups have canceled their trips to Arizona, a convention of 5,000 and 7,000 persons each have canceled in the last month. And then the tourism industry, as you know, that significant numbers of workers are Hispanic and minority group workers. But there are others who say that it hasn't had a significant impact overall, that total occupancy for hotels is down 2% and new business added is down 15% compared to the same time last year. But other people are arguing, is it the law or is it the recession overall? So we can talk more about this. But Eugene Robinson, let's bring you into the conversation. You recently wrote a column. You wrote a column last week titled, "In the Short Term, Immigration Ruling is a Gift for the GOP." And you say Christmas came early for the demagogues. The court decision putting a hold on the worst provisions of Arizona's new anti-Latino immigration law is a gift-wrapped present to those who delight in turning truth, justice, and the American way into political liabilities. Why do you say that?
I say that, Michelle, because there are polls, national polls, that show a majority of Americans support the Arizona law. Now, there are also polls that show that a majority of Americans support comprehensive immigration reform, which would include a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants who are already here. But this specific issue of people crossing the borders is an easy issue for those who choose to do so to demagogue, I think, and I expect that's exactly what's going to happen. In fact, it's already happening, and you're seeing Arizona Senator John Kyle already essentially saying, let's repeal the 14th Amendment that that provides that anyone born in the United States has citizenship, and the target is undocumented people who might be here and have a child, and then thus the child becomes an American citizen. What? He wants to get rid of that. And it's that sort of thing. I don't think that's a serious proposal to get rid of the 14th Amendment, but I think it's a way of inflaming or further inflaming the conservative base.
Well, how do you know that this is – why do you describe this as demagoguery as opposed to perhaps reflecting accurately – the will of their constituents? I mean, let us set aside this proposal to it just for a minute. Let's just set aside this proposal to end the U.S. practice, which is in constitutional law. It's in the Constitution of granting citizenship to most children born in this country. And they say most because already the children of diplomats, certain children of diplomats are not included. It's a very small group of people who are not covered by this. But let's just set that aside. Why do you say this is demagoguery as opposed to reflecting accurately the sentiment of the country?
Well, because the sentiment of the country is more nuanced than that. It is, control the borders, but also, but find a way to deal with the immigration issue without some sort of vast pogrom that would hunt down and expel 11 or 12 million people who are here without papers. That is not the clear will of the American people, and when you explain it in detail and nuance, you get a different position from when you just say it's our country. We've got to control the borders. We've got to keep these people from coming in, exaggerating as many people have, for example, a crime committed by illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. or the drain or the alleged drain on services that is created by illegal immigrants. All this is a kind of jingoistic and I think fundamentally xenophobic maneuver. And I agree with Ruben that a lot of this is playing on a kind of nervousness, a kind of anxiety about the changing demographics of this country.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with columnist Eugene Robinson and Ruben Navarrete. We're talking about new developments in Arizona's controversial immigration law known as SB 1070. It went into effect last week. And Eugene and Ruben, I want to hear from you on this question also. Eugene, you say in the short term, you say the political fallout is clear. In the short run, at least, Republicans win and Democrats lose. But you say longer term, the impact of the immigration issue on the major party's prospects is the other way around. Why do you say that?
And I believe that. Surveys also show that Latinos care deeply about this issue. And to the extent that the Republican Party manages to become identified as the not just the anti-illegal immigration party, but the anti-Latino party, or the party that is hostile to Latinos, that is very, very bad for the Republican Party. It's the largest and fastest growing minority group in the country. And if this, and again, I'm going to use the word demagoguery, but if it succeeds in driving Latinos into the arms of the Democratic Party for a generation or more, it's hard to see how the Republican Party is going to win national elections, statewide elections.
Well, just to the point, you mentioned the Arizona, the John Kyle. You mentioned Arizona Senator John Kyle's discussion around withholding citizenship from persons whose parents are not in the country with proper authorization. He talked about this just this weekend on Sunday's Face the Nation. And I'll just play a short clip so people know what we're talking about. Here it is.
The question is, if both parents are here illegally, should there be a reward for their illegal behavior? And what I suggested to my colleague Lindsey Graham from South Carolina suggested that we pursue that. And what I suggested to him was that we should hold some hearings and hear first from the constitutional experts to at least tell us what the state of the law on that proposition is.
So, Ruben, I'll ask you the same question.
Sure.
Do you agree with Gene's assessment in the short run that this is probably a net plus for Republicans, but in the long run, you feel it's a net plus for the Democrats?
I absolutely do. First, let me say this about John Kyle. I covered him 15 years ago when I worked at the Arizona Republic, and you know, obviously the fact that he would even entertain this question. He's a lawyer, normally a smart lawyer, but I guess he was absent the day they taught law in law school. This is cut and dry. There are court cases that make this pretty clear. This is all political hay. It's all about getting points even when you lose the legal argument. Gene's right about the long-term demographics, though. And Republicans, there are some smart Republicans out there who are worried about this. Karl Rove, Newt Gingrich, and others see the writing on the wall, and they've tried to – Matthew Dowd and others – have said this is a really bad play long term. It's a fool's errand that you're engaged in because you're going to win some short term elections. But as Gene said, for a generation or more at the governor level, senator level, you know, presidential level for sure, you're just not going to win any elections. And the bad news about that is the Democrats are not going to have to work hard. If I think Democrats already take Latinos for granted, it's going to get only worse from here because they're going to feel they don't have to do anything. Because Latinos are simply going to go to the Democratic Party. So it's bad for both parties. It lets Democrats be lazy, ineffective, and unresponsive, and it lets Republicans sort of live in their cocoon, and they'll go the way of the Whig Party. So it's a bad play. It's not smart, but you know, these are people who are not worried about what the political end of it looks 20, 30 years from now. They just want to get some short-term juice from it right now.
It's curious, though, and we're unfortunately out of time. It's curious that one of the areas of agreement during the presidential campaign was between John McCain and Barack Obama on this very question. So it's interesting how the politics have changed in such a short time. So I thank you both. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist with the Washington Post Writers Group. He also writes for CNN.com. He's joining us from Phoenix, Arizona, where he's been covering reaction to the law over the weekend. Also with us, Eugene Robinson. He's an op-ed columnist for the Washington Post, a Pulitzer Prize winner. He joined us from his office. Gentlemen, thank you both.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Still to come, the Americans with Disabilities Act just celebrated 20 years since its passage, but there's still lots of work ahead, advocates for people of color with disabilities say.
If we can't change the politicians' minds, we must change their faces. And say, if we're not campaign contributors and we can't decide who sits in office, then again, we're not going to get a slice of that pie.
The challenges of being a disabled person of color. That's just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.